Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome in the Big Sunday. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. I'm sure that a lot of you just took off from the 4th of July on. And you got to go back to work tomorrow because I doubt you went back to work Friday. There were a lot of people at work Friday. Welcome in. I'm Jay Binkley with my man Kramer, Crame Dog, who has been working with me quite a bit lately and will always be here on Sundays. What's up, Crame Dog?
You know, it's a nice, beautiful day out, and we're a package deal.
USA versus the Netherlands. Women's soccer just started. Just started right now. I will keep you updated on this game. But Kansas City's just going nuts over this thing. The Power and Light District was packed. I've seen a bunch of pictures on Twitter and everything. I mean, packed. I mean, just wall-to-wall people. And it's always been one of those places for World Cup that they show Kansas City, but it makes us look good. And I know we're trying to get the World Cup here in Kansas City, but it does show this town loves its football. It's a football town, Kramer, although it became a baseball town, in 14 and 15 with the Royals. It really did. I'll concede that. It did, but it's back to being a Chiefs town because of Mahomes. But it's a great sports town. And we talk about the ratings all the time. NASCAR ratings, top five for the Daytona 500. NASCAR ratings are up in this town. The Team USA does great. The Olympics, we're always Kansas City as one of the ones. The NHL is the top five market in the NHL Stanley Cup, of course, because of the St. Louis Blues that Kramer and I happen to like watching that game. But, Crame Dog, this is insanity. And the amount of people, there's just a lot of sports fans here in Kansas City. And believe it or not, I'm not a huge soccer guy. I don't know if you were a huge soccer guy. I do support Sporting KC, enjoy going out to the game. But we all like Team USA. You have to like Team USA.
Oh, exactly. And, like, I casually watch soccer every once in a while. I mean, I played it for a year. So it's like, you know what? I respect the game. So why
sure.
not?
Well, but this is a lot of fun. And by the way, Sporting wins last night 1-0. But USA goes for its fourth World Cup title for women. Third straight final they've been in, so they've just been earmarked for this final. 2015 champs looking to repeat today is Team USA and the Netherlands in action right now, and I'm sure Kansas City's watching, and they're looking great down at the Power and Light and having a lot of fun. The Royals today wrap up the first half of the season, even though they're over technically the first half of the season. They're game 91 today. They're an even 30-60, 30 games under 500. Last year, the All-Star break was a little bit later, a couple days later after game, 94-95. But the Royals last year were 40 games under 500 at this time, 25-65. Ended up being 41 games under at the All-Star break last year. Then they went on a roll and just were 5 games under 500 the second half of the season. Could it happen this year? I don't know. I mean, last year was that influx of talent that got here with Mondesi that came up in June, and you had Dozier and O'Hearn come up, and O'Hearn was killing the ball at that point. It's a little bit different now because your guys like Singer and Coar, they're not ready to get here yet. I think by next summer, you'll be talking about this young wave of influx of talent. And it's amazing what they did in last year's draft with Bubic and Lynch. I mean, it's amazing what this pitching staff is doing at the lower levels. But the Royals have dropped 14 straight series-deciding games before the win versus the Tigers recently. Not won a rubber game on the road since May 23rd against the Cardinals. 4-21-3 so far in 28 series this season. So it'd be nice for the Royals, you know, to have that little win going in to the All-Star break. I think we're going to be excited about the Home Run Derby, even though our guy Jorge Soler is not participating in it, which he was, but I still like the Home Run Derby. I like the format. I'll be at the Alamo Draft House tomorrow night for the show. I got a show every night this week because of the All-Star break, but I'll be at the Alamo Draft House doing the show tomorrow. But could this be the second road series win of the year for the Royals today against the Nationals? But get this. It'd be the first ever series win against the Expos/Nationals. They've lost the 5 previous series versus this team. And how about these stats from David Holtzman? When you think about, I've talked a lot about Whit Merrifield and how I don't think he gets kind of the respect he needs. Maybe Ned Yost even talked about it this week when it came to Whit Merrifield not guarding. Listen to these stats from David Holtzman, Fox Sports. Whit, one of two players in Major League Baseball history. It's got a long, long, long storied history. One of two players in MLB history to reach the All-Star break with 23 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs, 60 runs, and 12 stolen bases before the break. Think about that, Kramer. One of two to have those numbers. I mean, he's such a good all-around baseball player. You know who the other one was? Mike Trout. Mike Trout in 2013. Adalberto Mondesi. It's quietly having a very nice year. Again, from Holtze. The only guys to have 9-plus triples, 28 stolen bases, 50 ribs before the All-Star break in MLB history, three of them, Red Murray in 1911. You big Red Murray fan? George Sisler, 1922, and Adalberto Mondesi. So again, you know, you look at this team, and they've got some pieces that are just doing things in total bases. Witt's got more than Trout.
That's honestly a good thing to be named next to Mike Trout.
Think about what some of these guys are doing. And again, Whit Merrifield, one of two ever to go into the break with those numbers that I mentioned, 23 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs, 60 runs, and 12 stolen bases for the Trout. Only him and Trout. That's it. It's a club of two, party of two. They could sit in that corner booth, party of two in MLB history. The thousands of players that have played the wonderful game of baseball. It's insane just how good and consistent Whit Merrifield is. And he's still on a roll with the he had a hit yesterday. He's had a hit in 8 straight games. He had 13 hits in his last 8 games. This guy, and it's because the Royals, you know, I think if Whit was doing this on that 14 or 15 team, he'd be talked about a lot more nationally. He gets a little bit of love. I know he's in that MLB Network commercial, you know, where they have him on the psychologist chair, and they have like Smoltz and other MLB Network personalities, you know, kind of giving therapy to the players. Mike Trout did it. Whit Merrifield did it. So that was cool. So he's getting a little bit of recognition. He's in the All-Star game, which is great. But he's ahead of DJ LeMahieu in hits. And The one thing about Whit Merrifield this year too is, and we've talked about the consistency and how difficult it is to do, and we talk about this every show. Every show you give an update on Whit Merrifield and where he stands. 8-game hitting streak, 13 for 34, 3 doubles, 5 runs, 13th career hitting streak of 8 games or more. He's now gone 113 games. We're at 113 now. Remember when we were talking about this in 98, 99? We're at 113 consecutive games since the last time he went 2-plus games without a hit. Hal McRae once did it 102 times. Record at least one hit in 74 of 90 games this season. That's 82% of the games per Dave Holtzman. 82% of the games with at least one hit. It's the most in baseball. Think about that. 82% of the games he at least has a hit. I mean, he's the leadoff hitter. I mean, if he was hitting down in the order, I mean, his average would even be better because you're a leadoff hitter. You see the plate more times. You get up there more. But that's – I know in a year where you're 30 games under 500, I do think there's optimism on the way for the Royals. But guys like Whit, Mondy doing some special things. Jake Junis on the mound today, 4-8 with the 5.53 ERA. Cody Tapp gets you set to go starting at 11:30. We're only going to 11:30 today. Cody Tapp will have the on-deck show. And then Cody Tapp will get a well-deserved rest for the All-Star break because the guy basically works every single day. He wasn't real good last Tuesday against the Indians. 9-5 loss he suffered. Went 4 2/3, gave up 6 earned runs on 108 pitches. 4 2/3 innings with 108 pitches. He's going against Patrick Corbin. 7-5 with a 3.55 ERA. Nationals have some pitching. Nationals are also the hottest team in baseball since June 1st. Last 3 games, I was looking at his game logs. Gone 7 innings exactly. The last 3 games, 7 innings the last exactly. Giving up no more than 1 earned run, striking out 7, 9, and 8 in that time. But here's the cool thing. They both throw a ton of sliders. Junis, a 75% strikeout rate on sliders. Corbin, 63.6. Corbin leads Major League Baseball, 75 strikeouts on the slider. Junis, fourth with 66. Expect the slider in mad fashion today. Did you check out those uniforms yesterday?
Yes.
With the Nationals wearing the Expos. Those Royals uniforms that throw back to 69, that road uniform, they need to do that more often.
I agree.
Just the script of the way that was, that's old school. Those Royals uniforms looked really crisp.
It looked, we need those back.
They need to come back and do it every once in a while. You know the Cardinals will wear that road blue every once in a while, like the old throwback days.
Yes.
And I know the Royals on Sunday when they're at home, they'll wear the blue jersey. I wish they did the blue everything. Blue pants, the road just blue everything.
The blue looks really good.
Oh, man.
It just looks so good.
It looks great. It looks great. Shout out to Papa on the Farm down in southern Missouri. This guy, he's a good dude, former Marine. He's always grilling. And every Sunday he tweets out these pictures. This food just looks incredible. Just incredible. He always listens to the show. He's very loyal to the show, and I appreciate it. Papa on the Farm down in southern Missouri. Big appreciation. 913-576-7610 is our phone number. Coming up next, I heard a great question by Alex Marvez of Fox Sports. And we'll talk about the NFL because there's not as many teams that can win a Super Bowl this year as the NBA can win an NBA crown. We'll bring on that up next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley with my man Kramer. Crane Dog, Northwest Missouri State and Pittsburgh State uniting for Sunday mornings. Always like that. That's right, Christmas in July this week. This is insane. Movie Monday, 48 pairs of tickets to the Alamo Draft House. I'll be out at the Alamo Draft House tomorrow night celebrating Alamo Draft House night. Just come down to P&L for that. Ticket Tuesday, July 9th. Wifey Wednesday, which is $50 gift cards to Back to Body Spa and $50 to Scout and Molly's Boutique. Thirsty Thursday, gift cards to Ryan the Plaza, the Ainsworth, and Lucas Wine and Spirit Superstore. Fly Away Friday, go see Kansas City and Chicago play some football this year. A little Nagy versus Reed, that'll be fun. But make sure you're listening for Christmas in July on 610 Sports Radio. I was talking about Whit Merrifield there for a minute, just doing some insane things that just haven't been done in the sport. 113 straight games without going at least two games without a hit. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. I know I keep talking about it, but that's insanity. This is a sport where you have slumps. You go 3 or 4 days without a hit. That's just crazy. Whit Merrifield, this guy, the player that he's turned himself into, unbelievable. Let's go to Chase in Independence, who wants to talk about just that. What's up, Chase?
Exactly. I mean, you said it. You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, he has been the best player besides Mike Trout within the past, I mean, what, like 3 years? All he does is hit the ball. He can play every single position on the baseball field. I mean, you might as well put him at catcher at this point.
It's amazing, like, talent.
What can he do?
Yeah, I know. And here's the thing. The one thing about the Royals are, I would have liked to have seen him if – I know he's played third base a few times a couple years ago. But I was thinking about that. But the way Dozier's playing, obviously, you know, that's what you want.
I mean, we want Dozier out there. But, I mean, Dozier's been slacking a little bit these past couple weeks. I mean – but, I mean, of course I love Dozier out there. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, it's just – but Whit can do anything. I mean, it's crazy what this guy does. And –
exactly.
If this was 14 or 15, he'd be getting the national run. Now you're not going to get. Now Trout gets the run. If the Angels are good or bad, it doesn't matter. Trout still gets his run.
Ever played baseball?
Yeah, he hits more home runs. But Whit will join only two guys in Royals history if hit at least 20 home runs and stolen at least 30 bases. Beltran did it 3 times, and Amos Otis did it. And a couple years ago, he hit 19 home runs and stole over 30 bases. But remember, he started that year off in Omaha. And he got down to that final week. He started that year off in Omaha. The year that he hit 19 home runs, he started that year off in Omaha. And I remember that final weekend, I was pulling for him because I wanted him to get that 20-30 club. He hit the wall. Like, he's playing Detroit and hits the wall, and he could have hit that 20. But this year he will. This year, the stolen base numbers are down for Whit because he doesn't need to be that guy because with Hamilton and Gore, he doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all. And Mondesi.
Feels all over the place.
Yeah, and Mondesi's not 100% healthy, but Mondesi leads Major League Baseball in triples and stolen bases. He's quietly having a great year, too. I mean, the things he's doing before the break.
He's leading the league in base hits, isn't he?
Witt is leading the league in base hits. Not only that, total bases, he's tied with Mike Trout in total bases with 187, but he's not the major league leader in total bases. He just happens to be tied with him. Total bases in Major League Baseball this year, it was Bellinger, Cody Bellinger. He was leading the way. He's got 220 total bases. Josh Bell and Christian Yelich are your top three.
Josh Bell's been smacking that ball as well.
Freddie Freeman, 4. Pete Alonso, the rookie, 5. Charlie Blackmon, 6.
Where did Pete Alonso come from? I mean,
it's just rookie the sensation.
Just came out of nowhere.
But Arenado's there at 9. I mean, the names on this list, and there's Witt and Trout.
Arenado's been a monster as soon as he came into the freaking league this entire time.
Well, I appreciate it, my man. I appreciate Whit Merrifield. Ned Yost this week, because this is back when he actually led Mike Trout in total bases. He's actually tied with him now. But he said it best this week when he was talking about right around the 4th of July when he was talking about Whit.
It's just the way they perform. Whit's got more total bases than Mike Trout. How many times do you hear Whit's name with Mike Trout? Have you ever heard Whit's name with Mike Trout?
Not with Mike Trout.
No. So that's what I'm talking about. He's with the elite players in Major League Baseball, but he never gets mentioned. He never gets recognized. That's the recognition I'm talking about.
No, he'll be walking around that All-Star clubhouse. People will be like, who's that dude? Who's that dude? He hit a foul ball yesterday. The press box at where the Nationals plays, way on top. I've never been there, but I've seen the media talk about it. I've seen the view. It's up there. He's the only one to hit a foul ball up there. And I guess the media was talking like, Witt hit one up there. I mean, it's insanity. As I mentioned, David Holtzman's stats, one of two players in MLB history to reach the All-Star break with 23 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs, 60 runs, and 12 stolen bases before the break. Mike Trout in 2013. Whit Merrifield tied with Mike Trout going in the All-Star break right now with 187 stolen bases. One of three guys to lead the major leagues in hits and stolen bases last year since World War II. I mean, it's just insanity what this guy does. But again, if the Royals are 30 games under 500 and you're not getting mentioned, but Whit Merrifield is a late bloomer. And I feel bad for him too. He got a nice little contract from the Royals. He's the best bargain in Major League Baseball, even at the $16 million contract. It's the best bargain. Cabrera gets like $30 million a plate appearance. Joey Votto's making like $25 million a year. Then you have a guy like Whit Merrifield, chump change for a guy like Merrifield. But he's just late. He's not Jason Hayward at 26 years old going out and getting that big contract. It's just a late bloomer. And he's always had a little bit of bad luck, but at least that's life-changing money. He still has no question about that. With the Crame Dog, Kramer, who works now here at 610 Sports Radio, he did something interesting. The other day, he's in here, and he told me he's emailing NBA teams. And by the way, USA and the Netherlands still scoreless. About 22 minutes played in this. I'll keep you updated on the USA Women's World Cup Finals going on right now. But Kramer came in here, and we were watching the Royals game, and he was telling me that he's emailed every NBA team. Or not everyone. Did you email everyone?
I emailed every single one.
Okay, see what the whole list.
All yes.
Right. I didn't quite do this. And he told me, he says, listen, Jay, I'm emailing these teams, and I'm a free agent fan. Like, we talk about free agency where you know, players can choose to go play wherever. Well, Kramer is a free agent NBA fan because, obviously, we don't have a team here, and there's not a great connection. Now, a lot of people here like Oklahoma City. We carry their games over on 1660. But a lot of it's drivable. It's the closest in distance drivable to the Kansas City area to go walk.
353 miles. I looked that up.
Have they responded to you?
They did.
Because we have Oklahoma City Day at the K.
Yeah, they responded to me, but it wasn't the offer I was looking for.
It wasn't the offer you're looking for. So where we stand now? Who's sent you things?
So the Miami Heat have sent me something.
The Heat are great, by the way, because they come here and play in exhibition games, but they're always nice to Kansas City.
The Phoenix Suns is another team.
Okay.
And I believe, I can't think off the top of my head, I think, I can't remember who the other team was.
What would they offer you?
They just said, oh, thanks for reaching out. We hope that you pick us.
Do they offer?
That's all that's I've it. Gotten. Oh, the Denver Nuggets. There we go.
Oh, Nuggets. Denver Nuggets. So you're not getting any. You're just getting feel goods. Thanks.
Feel goods. Like, oh, yeah.
You're not getting tickets or anything like that.
Oh no. I saw one of the people sent message back. I think it was the Heat saying, "Oh, we don't pay our fans to watch us and be a fan for us." But if they would have read what I sent them, I didn't say anything about me taking any money at all.
See, I liked it. So I did the same thing you did. My teams are obviously the Chiefs and Royals. Now, we don't have an NHL team, but I've been always been a Blues. And I just hop on the bandwagon. I go down there once a year to watch the Blues play. And in the NBA, just for fun, I did what you did. And I told you, it was years ago. Years ago. And I sent some emails out. And I only emailed like probably 10 teams that I could see myself rooting for. And I got two responses. Denver Nuggets, which obviously they responded to you. They sent me like a media guide and stuff like this. They were very nice. Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks sent a media guide. They sent an all-star game because they had the all-star game. They sent a T-shirt. And they were very nice. So I became a Atlanta Hawks fan. Not an avid, rabid, like, you know, diehard Atlanta. But I follow the Atlanta Hawks and what they're doing. But they sent me something back. And with the NBA, Klay Thompson's going to miss a huge chunk of the year next year. And we know that Durant is moving on. But the NBA is wide open, wide open. And this is a good time for you, I think, Kramer, to become a fan. I think you like the NBA, but you just didn't have a dog in the fight. It's no fun not to have at least a dog in the fight.
Exactly.
And you're kind of seeing it. But look at the NBA. These stars are everywhere. They're spread out. I mean, look at the Clippers next year. Brooklyn, the Lakers. I mean, it was wide open. Toronto again. I mean, it's just wide open with what it is. And I heard a great question from Andy Furman, who hosts with Brian Noe, hosts that Fox Sports Radio national show, which people, by the way, text in about these shows that are national. We have nothing to do with those because that's done out in L.A. But, you know, you're still listening, and I appreciate that. But they asked Alex Marvez, and they said, how many teams legitimately have a shot in the NFL to win a Super Bowl? Because I think we can agree that the NBA is wide open. Hell, I think Major League Baseball is wide open as well.
It seems like with Major League Baseball, it's different. It's like you don't see a dynasty team that everybody's like, oh, there's this dynasty team coming out. But Major League Baseball is really different.
And the funny thing is, with football in the cap, and obviously you have the max deals in the NBA, which, by the way, Klay Thompson got. But the Super Bowl, I look at five teams. I would say five teams right now I think could win a Super Bowl next year. Now, you could probably stretch it out and say two more. Oh, I'd give you two more. But I'm staying with the Patriots. You have to because they just keep getting there. They've been there nine times, the Belichick and Brady, 1-6. Chiefs, Rams, Saints, and yes, I'm going to say Colts. But the Colts have to get the best record in the AFC because Andrew Luck is a different quarterback at home than he is on the road. He had twice as many interceptions on the road than he did at home. I think five teams have a shot legitimately in the NFL. Now, you can give me the Chargers. Because I know people love the Chargers, and I do think Phillip Rivers is the best quarterback not to have won a title. Browns aren't ready yet. Browns aren't ready yet. The Bears, I'm waiting to see. I'm not buying in on Trubisky, but I love Matt Nagy, and I love that offense. And I just like what that team could do. But I put five teams. I'm looking at the NFL much different this year because there's just not that. I mean, it's funny because it's the same salary cap. You're drafting out of the same 256 pool of players in the NFL combine. But it's not as wide open as you think. The NFL is not as wide open. The NBA is everywhere. What's the Paul George trend? It's just everybody. You know, and then Kawhi. Everybody is everywhere in the NBA, which I think is good. I mean, dynasties we kind of all get sick of. And we're ready for the Patriots dynasty to end, which the Chiefs had an opportunity to had the Chiefs beaten the Patriots in the AFC title game. That would be one of the biggest offseason storylines are the Patriots done? I mean, you lose Gronk. It's a different-looking team this year, the Patriots. But had they – and Tom Brady, by the way, ran a 40 faster than his combine. He's over 40 years old, is actually running faster now than he did before the combine. Father Time has not affected him. It's making him better, but he's got the money to have these exclusive trainers. So I'm not saying – but it's amazing. I mean, the guy takes care of his body. I mean, he takes care of his body better than anybody that you know of in a long time, Tom Brady. So as long as he's there and that Belichick's there, relevancy. But had the Chiefs beaten them, the biggest storyline in the offseason would have been, are the Patriots done? It's what they're saying about Golden State. Is Golden State done? that would have been the New England Patriots had we won that damn game. I don't know. We'll talk to Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com, as we frequently do. He does a great series on Arrowhead Pride called The Summer of Spags. We discuss the NFL, and I'll bring this story up with him next.
Big Sunday.
And welcome back to Bank Sunday. Jay Binkley and Kramer producing the operation USA in the Netherlands. 33rd minute, still scoreless as Team USA going for their fourth Women's World Cup championship. But proud to be joined by Arrowhead Pride's Matt Lane, big-time friend of the show, at Chief in Carolina on Twitter. He likes to get up on Sunday morning and talk football with me, even though it's 11:30 out there. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, baby?
Hey, we're doing great. So I'm driving in, right? And I was listening to Alex Marvez, national columnist for the NFL. He was on with the show. He goes on there every Sunday. And they were asking him about the NBA, you know, being wide open now. The NBA is wide open now. The Golden State Warriors, everybody's kind of putting dirt on them. They're over. It's wide open. We have stars everywhere. And then they were comparing it to the NFL. How many teams do you think legitimately can win a Super Bowl this year? Because I'm looking at a very small club. I'm looking at the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, Saints, Colts. That's my list.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty small like that as well. I think you might have a surprise team of another NFC team. I think eventually will come out here. Maybe the Seahawks are able to rebound or the Packers catch him. And when you have Aaron Rodgers, you're never out of it.
Nope.
So maybe a team like that. But, I mean, that's about all. I mean, it's a very small pool every year. I never believe somebody that thinks there's a bunch of teams that could possibly win the Super Bowl.
The NFL.com had an article as well, and I'm glad that we didn't make this list. Five teams stuck in neutral, and two of the teams they put there were the Raiders and the Broncos. AFC West comes down to two teams, Chargers and Chiefs. Is that the way you see it, or do you expect any other surprises in the AFC West at this point? Because I don't. I think it's a two-team race, and I got to give the Chargers a little bit of credit because they had the same record as the Chiefs.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a two-team race. I would be quite shocked if the Broncos or the Raiders had given the Chiefs a real run for their money in terms of trying to push into the playoffs. I don't even know if they're going to be super competitive outside of maybe catching a home game, like in terms of being in the playoff race or anything like that. The Chiefs and the Chargers are just a class of the AFC West, and I think it's a little bit before the Broncos or the Raiders are really going to catch up just because they seem like two teams without an exact identity of where they want to go as of right now.
On Twitter, at Chief in Carolina, that's where you can follow Matt Lane from arrowheadpride.com. He took part in Arrowhead Pride's thing, which we did the other day too. MVP, breakout star, underrated player. And Matt's got his list on there as well that I read off. I agreed with most of them. But I do want to go back to something. You had the underrated player, the Lizard King, and you're talking about Sammy Watkins. Did you read that column Pro Football Focus put out on him yesterday? Everybody's talking about the breakout year with Sammy Watkins. Are you buying into it? Because Pro Football Focus spelled it out in really good fashion about why and how Sammy Watkins could be a breakout player this year.
Yeah, and I saw that article and I was able to glance through it. I haven't got to sit down and read it 100% thoroughly yet, but I agree with the general premise and the fact that Sammy Watkins, as long as he's healthy, is going to be in the perfect position to have a quote-unquote breakout year. The thing is, Sammy Watkins already had his breakout year with Buffalo. I believe it was his second year in the league. You kind of saw it until he started having the foot, and ankle injuries. He was really starting to click. He's got all the talent in the world. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to put it all together and stay healthy for a year? So now coming into his second year with the Chiefs, he gets to learn Andy Reid's offense even more. He's learning all these different wide receiver positions. I expect him to be heavily utilized this year compared to years in the past, or at least last year, and then you're going to see a guy that's going to be able to rival Tyreek Hill in terms of explosiveness on the field.
I cannot wait. We are 20 days away from training camp, the first open practice for people to go watch. 20 days until that. And, of course, the guys show up a little bit earlier. They only show up a couple days. So, actually, we're less than 20 days when guys actually will show up to St. Joe. The Bengals game, the first preseason game, Matt, 34 days away. That's it. 34 days away and 20 days of training camp. It is insane just how close we are in this offense. What are you expecting this year, Matt? I haven't even asked you this. Are you expecting it to get better? Because Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are on this roll this role they have together. Are you expecting, I'm not saying expecting 35 points a game still, but is this a way this offense can even get better than it was last year?
So in terms of volume of stats, I expect them to probably dip a little bit just because teams are going to be a little bit more aware. And I do expect the defense to be a little bit better. So there's not going to be a need to score that many points every single week. You're not going to have as many games where the offense has to score 40, 45 points. You just end up losing like with the Rams and the Patriots. So in terms of volume stats, probably down a little bit. But I could see the efficiency going up just a hair, and that would be crazy considering how good it was last year. But I think the team this year, it seems a little bit more well-rounded. So you can get the offense clicking a little bit better. Third year, Patrick Mahomes. Second year as the starter. And Sammy Watkins, the second season in the league. Damian Williams all year. You just have all these guys that are going to start gelling together with more time. I wouldn't be surprised to see a more efficient offense, even if it dips a little bit in terms of points or yards per game.
Last year, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Kareem Hunt were your top four wide receivers for the team last year. If I had to ask you right now, and we don't know about Tyreek Hill, whether he's going to be suspended or not, because you still have to include him in the list. If I'm going to say right now at the end of the season, who are the top four wide receivers for the Chiefs in yardage?
I'm going to say Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. Those three are going to be there. And then I'm going to say Damian Williams. I think that he is the next guy, just like Kareem Hunt. You're going to get a lot of running back passes. You're going to get the screen game working with Andy Reid. You're going to have creative plays that get a running back isolated versus a linebacker that's not great in coverage, and they're going to let Damian Williams go ahead and shine in those situations. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him as the fourth leading receiver.
You know, I like that pick. I really do. And last year, 23 catches, 160 yards. His high water mark was 249 back in 2016. And I know that's a popular pick, Matt, but I'm sitting here looking at Carlos Hyde as well. Carlos Hyde and Darwin Thompson. And I think they could maybe sneak in and take some of that production, especially on third down away from Damian Williams.
Yeah, and that was the concern as well when you're trying to pick somebody. But what I kind of came back down to is I don't know what wide receiver I would put in there next either from the same general perspective. Is I think Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, maybe Cody Thompson, and DeMarcus Robinson are all going to be vying for the third wide receiver, the fourth wide receiver rep. So it's going to be hard to figure out which one is going to be able to really take the reins until the season starts. Whereas I feel pretty confident Damian Woods is going to have the most opportunities beyond the first three of Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Tyreek Hill. But I wouldn't be surprised to see any one of those wide receivers, Damian Williams, be the fourth leading wide receiver. You might even have a big split where a bunch of guys within 100, 150 yards of one another in that situation as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Darwin was really good at Utah State. They're talking about a guy who had 23 catches, but 351 yards. He was going 15 per, you know, out of the backfield catching the ball. So they've got some guys. It'll come down to blocking. It'll ultimately come down to blocking. It's because Zane Reed, Jamaal Charles got so much better at blocking. It was ridiculous. But these running backs, if you're going to be in there with Pat Mahomes, max protection. It's going to really come down to that.
Yeah, and I think that's where Carlos Hyde has a real big hit or like impact to the team, and I think some people might be overlooking it a little bit. He's a very good pass-protecting running back, and he's still got good receiving skills as well. So that's why I've always thought that he's going to make the team, why it's going to be hard for Darrell Williams or even Darwin Thompson to overtake his role entirely. It's just it comes down to how many opportunities is he actually going to get to put up big numbers. But I like Carlos Hyde. I like Darwin Thompson. I like Damian Woods. I like them all, so I don't feel bad if any of them are on the field. But there's definitely a role for someone like Carlos Hyde, who is a veteran that understands, you know, blitz pickup, where he's supposed to be in protection, when he's supposed to leak out into the flat.
No question. Just two seasons ago, he had 59 catches for San Francisco. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, JB. Go hey. USA women's team. I hope everyone's tuning in.
That's right. It's 0-0 right now, Team USA in the Netherlands, approaching the 42nd minute in this game, still scoreless. But Carlos Hyde had 59 catches, 350 yards 2 years ago. And again, Darwin Thompson, 23 catches last year at Utah State. Damian Williams, we know he can catch the ball. All three of these running backs can. It's going to come down, ultimately, who can block on third down. Because we know that they can all catch. We know they all can catch the ball. But I'm interested. But I can't believe this. 20 days away from the first year St. Joe guy, Cream Dog. But 20 days away till St. Joe, which I believe a ton of people will be making the trek up I-29 this year, despite practices being in the morning when you probably have to work because of the camp battles. And just to see Mahomes throw the football. I think it's going to be fun to watch. But the wide receivers, the running backs, those are going to be two. And I want to see what Frank Clark and the Honey Badger can do. But the running backs and wide receiver really going to get my attention this year.
Yeah, and I can't believe how, like, it feels like it's really soon. It's like, it's
20 days.
It's insane.
They play in 34 days.
That is crazy.
They play the Bengals in 34 days. Once you get to summer, 4th of July comes fast. And then once 4th of July is past, I mean, it is high gear. And then kids start school here, you know, in about 3-4 weeks. I mean, and then all of a sudden the pools close. And then we're drinking Oktoberfest beer, having Halloween. And then we're Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we're doing the whole thing over again. I can't wait. 20 days.
And for me being in St. Joe still, I'm just going to wake up, walk outside, and walk a few blocks and be there.
I'll be with you, Cream Dog. I mean, come up and see you. I will be up there. I'll be watching some training camp. But I just can't believe it. 20 days, 34 days until preseason. You're right at 2 months, basically, until the regular season begins. Right up at the two-month mark.
Time flies. it's insane.
Time flies when you're having fun. Time is flying by on this one as well. NFL.com did something really interesting. They took a look at the decade because we're getting close to the decade being over. And they listed their top 10 teams of the decade. Now, they only did it where you can only list one team. Obviously, you know, the Patriots are the team of the decade. There's no doubt about that. But which individual teams? They didn't have to win a Super Bowl to be individual teams in the top 10. Did the Chiefs make this list? Maybe so. I'll tell you about it next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. USA Netherlands still scoreless. 48-32. In this game, still scoreless. Team USA going for their fourth cup title. I want you to think about this and give you your initial reaction. I talk about training camp is 20 days away from you actually being able to go there and watch it as a fan. It's the first open practice. It's going to be a 3:30 afternoon practice there. But think about this. Report day, rookies and quarterback, July 23rd. That's essentially 2 weeks from what? Let me pull out my calendar here. I'm terrible with dates. 23rd is on a Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday, the 9th, is exactly 2 weeks. 2 weeks until Mr. Mahomes shows up to Chiefs training camp. They need a torch and have him light it. That's when it starts. When Pat Mahomes lights the torch and Andy Reid lights the torch, game on.
So it's almost as if it's an Olympic ceremony, but it's the NFL Chiefs ceremony right there.
Wednesday is practice. It's closed to public. This is quarterbacks and receivers and rookies show up a little bit. 2 weeks. 2 weeks until report day for that. It's unbelievable how quick football season is coming. You might have blinked and missed the offseason. I have not rested since they lost the AFC title game. I haven't. I've been ready to roll since the minute they lost that game. I did. And I'm going to bring back, I have Lee Steinberg, the agent for Pat Mahomes, joined me last week on the, I filled in for the drive and Kramer was with me on Friday and Lee Steinberg joined me and actually talked about Mahomes' Magic Crunch cereal and when you can expect it. Well, that's soon. And Lee Steinberg says exactly when you can expect it. But Mahomes was always, like, he's been ready to roll. Like, Mahomes has been ready to roll since that game. I mean, he was ready to go since the minute. He had to dial it. This is James Palmer from NFL Network a few weeks ago when he came to Kansas City. Here's your training camp primer right here. Number 15 wants to play.
Now, this offseason, Mahomes actually had to restrain himself from working out too much or throwing too much because of the agony he felt after losing the AFC Championship game. He self-scouted this offseason and felt like oftentimes he made the elaborate play or bought time when he could have made the easy completion for a first down. This offseason, he's spending time finding a balance between the two. But at the same time, him and Andy Reid are taking things to another level.
I get excited when I hear that. Reid Mahomes take to the first level. Next-gen stats per next-gen stats. On the run, 14 touchdowns first. Under pressure, 12 touchdowns first in the NFL. Deep ball touchdowns, 13 of them tied for first. And we're going to expect him to get better? You can't get much better than what Mahomes already was. A Super Bowl in year two for him, it's, even though it's year three. I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, when I hear that he had to dial it down, get those pythons working, yeah. He needs to rock. He needs to walk into training camp in that outfit he wore at the NASCAR a couple years ago. The jorts, the T-bone shirt. That would be more of a viral pick than the one in the tornado warning. Still scoreless, I guess, Kramer. I looked off the TV for just a second.
They're actually in halftime right now.
Halftime now. Okay, halftime now. So NFL.com, and I retweeted this on my Twitter, at Three Guys in the Garage. Tom Blair looked at the top 10 NFL teams of the decade, and he put the 2013 Seattle Seahawks number one. First in overall defense that year, fourth of the decade. First in points allowed that year, third of the decade, number nine in point differential. Number two, they had the Carolina Panthers of 2015. That was a team that went 15-1, ultimately lost to the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Team number three of the decade, he gave the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. Because, again, we're talking about balanced teams, third in scoring, fourth in overall defense. Again, these balanced teams that the Chiefs didn't have. Fourth, they gave the 2016 Patriots that came back and beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl, overcame that deficit. They went 14-2 that year, but again, they were balanced. Third in scoring offense, eighth in overall defense. One thing I do, Kramer, is when we get to the postseason, and I, this is very simplistic, very, very simplistic. I'm not splitting the atom here. I look at a team's scoring offense and scoring defense, ultimately the two most important factors. It's not total defense. It's scoring defense. How many points do you give up? It's more important than total defense. And where you rank, I assign you a score. Well, say you're second in scoring defense, you get a two. Second scoring offense, get a two. It's a combined of four. And look at the Chiefs. I mean, everybody was ahead of it in the playoffs. But typically, if you go by this, like a couple, remember Jerome Bettis last year? The Pittsburgh Steelers snuck in as a wild card and ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
If you look, they're scoring like the third best overall score. So it was like second or third best team in the playoffs as far as balance is concerned. Because it's very hard to find that balance. Chiefs have even been good offense, bad defense. Great defense, bad offense. Rarely have we seen them both good together at the same time, like I think you're going to see this year. Obviously, the offense is a top three offense in the NFL. I do believe this will be top half defense. I do. I wouldn't even go as far as saying it can't be top 10 defense this year. And people are sleeping on it. I even heard Alex Marvez when he called in. Like, I don't know about the Chiefs defense. And no, defense is better. That's the question. No one talks about it. Steve Spagnuolo's in here. It's a defensive mind. I've seen when coaches go to different places and make the biggest difference. They'll take the same talent and win with it. I saw Andy Reid come in here with Alex Smith and take a team that was 2-14, first pick on the clock, and started the next year 9-0. Culture difference, attitude difference, and coaching. Go to the high school level. It's not, what is one, you look at certain districts, and one team's always that team to beat in the district here in Kansas City, right? Always good, because of coaching. It's not that the kids are drinking better water, you know, 5 miles away. It comes down to coaching. And you can't slight the fact that Steve Spagnuolo is here. You just can't slight it. Number five, the 2013 Broncos lost to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. But he liked them. He broke down the stats and team offense, team defense. So I'm doing teams of the decade because we're almost done with another decade. 2015 Arizona Cardinals were number six. 13-3 lost to the Panthers in the NFC title game. Seven, 2012 49ers, 11-4-1. That's a team that lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl, Jim Harbaugh. Number eight was the 2011 Green Bay Packers. Lost to the Giants in the divisional round. We'll remember Eli Manning went out there, beat him in the cold. And number nine, the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs. When he did top 10 teams of the decade. And this makes me sad because they didn't win anything. First in overall offense. Sixth best offense total offense of the decade. Of all the teams, first in scoring, 35.3 points. That's number two of the entire decade. 31st in overall defense, 24th in points allowed, second in point differential. Here's what he said about the Chiefs. Let's get a little weird. The Chiefs might be the least balanced team here. The defense was terrible, and it was. And Kansas City lost a head-to-head regular season matchup with the Rams, a legit contender for the list. Look at who the Chiefs lost to. They were good teams. Hey, Dusty, what's going on, my man? Like the Rams, like the Patriots. They weren't losing. You look at some of these other teams, they lost to some slappies. The Chiefs didn't lose to slappies. They got beat by good teams. They did. Good quality football teams. Number 10, 2017 Jaguars. That's the team that lost to the pay. That defense, second overall defense that year, number 10 defense of the decade. That was a very good defense. But I had a chance to catch up with Lee Steinberg, the agent for Patrick Mahomes. Bring you that next.
Bank Sunday.
Welcome back to Bank Sunday from the Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line, 69306. KC had a middle-ranked defense last year. They'd be 16-0. That's not crazy to think about. I mean, it is not crazy to think about that they could have been that way. I mean, look at last year, their losses. 43-40 in a shootout New England, Super Bowl champion Patriots. 54-51 shootout loss to the Rams. We're in the Super Bowl. So there's two of the Super Bowl teams right there with a combined six-point loss during the regular season between them both. Then they lost that one-pointer to the Chargers. We remember that final play. Chargers should have been facing a 3rd and 10 because there was pass interference. Under the new rules, they would have called. They would have called the pass interference, and the Chiefs might have won that game. Their other loss, 7 points on the road to the Seahawks. Again, it was a playoff team last year, the Seattle Seahawks, and it's a tough place to play. But, I mean, that's who they lost to. You know, they weren't losing to rummies. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that lost to some bad football teams. They didn't. The Chiefs were right there. I mean, the Patriots last year were 11-5. Chiefs had a better record than the Patriots, who were the Super Bowl champions. And again, the Chiefs had a chance to beat them both times that they played the Patriots last year. Here's some of their losses. They lost to Jacksonville last year. As bad as Jacksonville was, they lost 31-20 to them. They lost to Detroit 26-10, the Patriots. They lost to Tennessee 34-10 last year in the regular season. These Chiefs losses were close, and they were the good teams. That's how close this team is. That's how close and good that 2018 team was of the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, I don't know if the Chiefs understood how good that team was going to be, because the Spags move could have been done a year earlier. But it wasn't, and we got to go on with it. But the window's still there, because you're not paying Mahomes the big bucks yet. So you got that window that's still wide open. The window's still wide open. But I had a chance to catch up with Lee Steinberg. He's the agent for Patrick Mahomes. And we started off the conversation talking about how he took a lack of endorsements until he proved himself, but all about Patrick Mahomes.
The important thing for a rookie player is to be able to adjust to the speed of the game. It's a big elevation. But it's also to understand that you have a owner, a general manager, a coach, other players, people of the city, all looking at you and understanding that the most important thing is to prove yourself on the field. And nothing should get in the way of that. And so the same philosophy that we used years ago with Steve Young and Troy Aikman, which was to let all the focus be on the field, and then wait until there'd been real accomplishment to be able to put together endorsements of things off the field. One of the things that Patrick's been great about is actually being involved in the Kansas City community.
Mm-hmm.
So you see him at hospitals, you see him at with the police. This is all Patrick and his desire to not just be a player for the Kansas City Chiefs, but to make an impact on the city and larger area of Kansas City in a positive way through charity, through reaching out and trying to help people who are less fortunate. So to me, it would have been a little presumptuous to be on every billboard when the first year you're not playing, and the second year you have to prove yourself. And so this offseason, Patrick's been comfortable with reaching out and doing some different commercial shoots. But the priority is always on getting the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. So even though he's gone to some athletic events and had and done some commercial shoots, he trains basically every single day. And his focus is on training. So even when he comes out here to Los Angeles, he has his old backup quarterback, Nick Siemiec, working him out. So it's not a day that I've ever seen that goes by without him doing something physical, because the engine that pulls the train is success on the football field.
Well, you can tell how hard the guy works out every time we see pictures of Patrick Mahomes. But Lee, we're talking to Lee Steinberg, the agent for Patrick Mahomes. Lee, you've been around some of the best athletes that we've ever seen in this country. I mentioned 62 first-round picks, 8 number one overall selections. How unusual is it for somebody that's 23 years old, MVP, can remain as humble as he's been? He has adopted Kansas City. He knows how much the city likes him. And like you said, with the police helping out the less fortunate, he is doing everything it seems like his own. Not only that, he's kind of made Kansas City his home.
He has. And here you have an athlete who's really happy to be in Kansas City. When he got drafted, we felt it was like a marriage made in heaven. And remember, I had going all the way back to Brad Buddy in 1980, and Derek Thomas and Daron Cherry and Nick Lowry and Tony Gonzalez, a whole series of players in Kansas City that all were stars and all worked. Like Derek Thomas, Daron had his Cherry Foundation. Tony had Tony's Pals. And so we always worked hard to make sure that the player was integrated into the Kansas City community. And I mean, frankly, to go to that fan base, which is so amazing and creative, and you look at some of their funny postings and got a great sense of humor. But people always think that every athlete wants to go to Los Angeles or New York because of big endorsements and all the rest of it. For Patrick, you know, he grew up in Tyler, Texas. He then went off to school in Lubbock, Texas. So scale-wise, Kansas City's great. And so his big focus, though, is taking the next step up. Okay, they got that far, and he won't be happy until ultimately he goes to the Super Bowl and wins it for the fans there.
Well, you know what he said at halftime? He's like, hey, we're going to go out here and score 30 points in the second half. I know that how much he's driven to get to the Super Bowl. All these pictures of Patrick Mahomes are greatly. You know what my favorite picture of him is lately? The one during a tornado warning, reading his playbook.
He's totally focused. One of the amazing things is that Patrick has the ability to focus and stay focused in that moment. So that doesn't surprise me. It reminds me when I had home in the Bay Area and I was on my exercise bike and they had the earthquake. And I felt it in my home, but I didn't want to stop completing the amount of minutes I had to do. So
you talk about this one just a couple days ago, the one yesterday?
Yes. Here's the thing about it. We grow up with them. And so what might seem terrifying to someone else, the ground rumbles here frequently every week. And so we're so used to it that unless it hits right next door, you just roll over and go back to sleep.
So you're used to it. All right, Lee, here's the deal. I have my Oakley sunglasses. I know Patrick endorses Oakley. I have them. I keep looking at the grocery store I've had you on a while. We talked about the patty flakes and how we were changing that to Mahomes Magic Crunch is what you were doing. I've been looking for the cereal. When can I finally get it? Because I've been scouring that aisle looking for it.
It's supposed to come around the beginning of training camp.
Really?
So, it's actually a little lower in sugar than a typical cereal because we know it's going for kids. And you want to make sure that it's healthy. But Mahomes Magic Crunch will eventually hit the stores. There's Hy-Vee is going to feature it. So you'll be able to start your day the right way.
Lee, I don't think that there'll be a more popular cereal in this town. I'm not kidding you. Anything this guy does, people want to be a part of it, and I can see it selling out real quickly. I think a lot of people in this town will be eating Mahomes Magic Crunch before they go to Arrowhead.
Well, you know, I hope they love it. Years ago, we did Big Ben's barbecue sauce and Big Ben's beef jerky for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, how'd that go over?
Big hit.
Was it a big hit?
Yes. Matter of fact, we put out a T-shirt, I remember, in Pittsburgh. It's got a metro population of about 300,000. 330,000 people bought it. So you get these cities that are wonderful sports towns like Kansas City, and an athlete really gets more focused there than, again, they would in Los Angeles or somewhere else. I can't think of a single athlete who has a radio or television show on the air here. And that's obviously different than what you'd find across the country.
Yeah. And the one thing about it is July 22nd, the NFL Top 100, a lot of debate. Will Patrick Mahomes be number one? A lot of people think he will be. I do, but I can't imagine. You might have seen this all along, Lee. You might have known what you had in Patrick Mahomes. I'm glad the Chiefs moved up and got him. I think they made the best decision their franchise might have ever made by going and getting Patrick Mahomes. But you've had a lot of great athletes, but to have this much success this early and be as humble and have the respect of his peers, there's not one player in the league that says anything negative about him, and that's highly unusual.
You know, Patrick's a genuinely nice person, and he's not self-absorbed. In other words, if he saw you on the street, he'd ask how you were doing.
Yep.
So he's not all into himself in the way you see self-absorption in some athletes. He was raised really well by and got real learning from both his mother and his father. And, I mean, the ESPYs is coming up next week, for example, and I don't think you'll see any change in his demeanor, whether he wins two ESPYs or none. I mean, that's not his focus. He is tunnel visioned on trying to play as well as he can. But to your original question, no quarterback I've ever seen in his first starting year has done what he did. It's just impossible. The game is faster. They're confusing the player on defense. He can't see the field really clearly. Here's the scary thing. As the game continues to slow down for Patrick, he's going to get better. I mean, you have not seen the best days of Patrick Mahomes yet because he's so far ahead of the curve, but it's a learning process. And the amount of times you're out on the field and watching defenses, the game ultimately slows down, so players get better. That he could do that in his first year. Let me give you a comparison. So I'm representing Troy Aikman. He's the first pick in the draft. I think he threw double the interceptions that he did touchdown passes. He had one game in which he got a zero quarterback rating.
Wow.
I mean, whoever it's been, whether it's Drew Bledsoe or Steve Young or Warren Moon, nobody started this fast. The only possible comparison is Dan Marino.
You know what, though? It's such a nice thing. I don't think I've ever seen Andy Reid as happy as the way I've seen him. I'm a big believer in that quarterback-coach combination, Lee. Big, big believer in, you know, just that perfect gel, that perfect mix between quarterback and coach. And I think that Patrick couldn't get a better head coach to be a quarterback guru and call his plays than Andy Reid.
I totally agree. But you could check off he couldn't get a better city or geographical area than Kansas City with better fans. He couldn't get a better owner than Clark Hunt. Brett Veach is splendid. Andy, the other players he plays with, on draft night, we were so ecstatic because winning organizations win, and the Chiefs know what they're doing. And you see with the Patriots that the players go round and round, but at the end of the day, it's the vision and stability of the owner. It's the way in which the front office builds a team. It's the coach and the way he works with players. Those are the essentials. And, I mean, to have the blessing of being drafted into a situation like this is great. And then, again, you have with Patrick someone who's so committed to developing his career and helping the team win that he's just hyper-focused on that, and nothing is taking his attention away from the ultimate goal.
The full interview on demand, 610sports.com. But 20 days from training camp, 2 weeks from players showing up, something to watch for. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are on a mission. We'll discuss that before Cody Tapp takes over for Cody's On Deck show coming up at 11:30. Of course, you can hear the Royals and Nationals. Last game before the All-Star break right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Big Sunday.
And Team USA on a penalty kick, now up 1-0 on the Netherlands. Cue power and light. They showed it at halftime. Could have shown anywhere in the country, but they showed right here in Kansas City, supporting Team USA. Team USA up 1-0, 62-minute mark now of this game. So defensive mode for Team USA and just try to stall this bad boy out. That's one thing about soccer. These 1-0 scorers, they just stall out the second half. Not a lot of excitement, but a lot of, and you know, by watching the Blues in the playoffs, it was never over until it was over. That Sharks game scored with an empty netter. They pulled their goalie and scored, like, wait a second, 2 seconds left, something like that.
or even with the, like, when the Blues came back and against the Jets, I think it was game six possibly was it was, and with the Shorts being able to score that decisive goal at the end.
I always get so nervous, like, if they're one goal lead in the goalie, you know they're going to face shots. You know your goal, you know Bennington's going to get shots. They're going to get shots at him, and just can he stop it? Or is he going to choke? I mean, you have that mentality, like when your pitcher on the mound's throwing that perfect game or that no hitter, and you don't want the ball hit to you. Like, a lot of times these guys don't want the ball hit to them because they don't want to be the guy that screws up especially a perfect game. I mean, no hitters are one thing, perfect game so much more rare, and you just don't want that ball being hit to you and you make a mistake. You don't want to be known as the person that screwed up the perfect game. It's like being a goalie at the end of a game in the NHL. I mean, it's just insanity.
I've had that feeling multiple times on the diamond, so yeah, I understand what that means.
Oh, that's right. Kramer, one of power, but he struck strikeout king. He's the perfect modern-day baseball player. What year did your baseball career stop?
I was a sophomore.
Sophomore.
And so that was about 2 years ago.
For the Bearcats?
Yeah.
What was your average in high school?
Average in high school was I think 280.
What was your power number?
Power numbers, I had 3 home runs, and I also had 38 RBIs.
38 driven in. Which high school did you go to?
Lafayette. And St. Joseph, Missouri.
Central or Lafayette? Central your big rival?
No, Benton was.
Benton?
We didn't play Central that much, unless it was the round robin.
So. A little bit bigger school, isn't it? Like, it's class it's, 5 in baseball?
Yes.
And what were you class?
Class 4.
Class 4. But Team USA up 1-0 on the Netherlands. We are 2 weeks from players showing up to training camp starting Tuesday. It'll be 2 weeks away from that. We are 20 days from the first open practice for you to go watch. So training camp is here for Kansas City. Cody Tapp comes your direction at 11:30 with Cody's Then On Deck show, getting you ready for Jake Junis against Patrick Corbin today. Junis not so good the last time out against Cleveland. The Indians gave up 6 earned runs on 108 pitches in just 4 2/3. Corbin's been pretty good. Last 3 games, he's gone at least 7. Strikes out 7, 8, 9, something like that. The Royals do have their strikeouts. They will have that. But again, as I mentioned the stat earlier from David Holtzman, Whit Merrifield, one of 2 players in MLB history to have 23 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs, 60 runs, and 12 stolen bases before the break. The other one, Mike Trout in 2013. Here was James Palmer once again a couple weeks ago when he visited Kansas City during the OTAs. And if you don't get excited about hearing this as we head into training camp, I don't know what does.
Now, this offseason, Mahomes actually had to restrain himself from working out too much or throwing too much because of the agony he felt after losing the AFC Championship game. He self-scouted this offseason and felt like oftentimes he made the elaborate play or bought time when he could have made the easy completion for a first down. This offseason, he's spending time finding a balance between the two. But at the same time, him and Andy Reid are taking things to another level.
I throw Spags in there, too. I think old Spags might be taking it to the next level as well. But Cody Tapp comes your direction in about 5 minutes from now, getting you ready for Royals and Nationals. Home Run Derby tomorrow. Home Run Derby. Looking forward to that. The Dirty Werewolf, Dusty Likens, will be in here with Cody Tapp, getting you ready for the game. But Team USA up 1-0 right now at the 66-20 mark. Huge thanks to Kramer, the Kramer Dog, for producing the operation. See you tomorrow night, Alamo Draft House, 6 to 9. I'll be with Dirty Werewolf. Talk to you guys then.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.